Good morning again. It's a joy to always to be in the presence of God and to not only to worship Him, but also, you know, we can engage in God's Word. I think last week, if you realize, we started this year by looking at how God calls us. And I believe, you know, we live in a time and age, right, looking at the tensions of the world. You know, there is a real urgency for us, right, to respond to the call that God is giving us. You know, last week we were looking at Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah, and all of us are very familiar with this particular passage. Like, we know that Isaiah was called, and the Lord said, you know, whom shall I send? And Isaiah responded by saying, here am I, send me. You know, it's a very familiar passage that will be always taken in mission conferences and all that. But when last week we were looking at it, you know, in a very different way, you know, God has been using prophet Isaiah for a period of time. But then what was happening at this occasion in Isaiah chapter 6, you know, Isaiah was really shaken, right? God shook him and said, Isaiah, you know, I'm giving you another call, right? And I'm sending you again. And that's how Isaiah responded. You know, God was so wonderful in his life that many hearts were turned to God. And I believe, I think God is calling us, right, in a time and age like this, right? As I said, and I even shared last week, the statistics about in the year 2010, the Christian population, right, in Canada was 12%, right? And in the this year, it is predicted, or it is going to 9%. And so, if you realize what's happening, you know, yeah, it's so numbers and all that, but I think it tells us, gives us some kind of indication that we need to, as a church, we need to, as individuals, be people of great blessings to what God has been doing in our lives now. So today, and I thought, you know, we'll be looking at this particular man, right, Gideon, right? Gideon, when God calls. I think some of us are very familiar, you know, maybe in your Sunday school you have studied about Gideon, how God called him. And I believe, you know, when I look at these things, you know, I realize, you know, God calls people, ordinary people, right? People from different walks of life, and how God calls. And when we respond to God's call, and this God can use us mightily. So let's pray and just look into God's Word. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can come to worship you, Lord, to pray, and also, Lord, to listen to your Word. And we pray as we listen to your Word, Lord, we pray that you will speak to us. And Father, we pray that each and every day of our life, oh God, we want to be a blessing, oh God. We want to use the opportunity of showing and sharing your love to people around us, Father. Because we live in a time, Lord, that many will leave this faith. And so, Lord, we pray that you will help us, oh God. Help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you heard about Gideon? Wow. Then I think my sermon is over. Wow, that saves my day. We will have snacks only at 11 o'clock, sorry. Yeah, but, you know, let's look at Gideon. I think it's a very familiar person, right? It's about an ordinary man. But just to give you a background of in Judges chapter 6. I think if you look at Judges chapter 6, just to give you a background, and you know, God was using the judges for 300 years, right? When you look at the book of Judges, God was using almost, you know, for 300 years from the time of Joshua, right, to the time of Samuel. You know, God was using 13 judges. And they were military people. In other words, they were not prophets, right? God used them as military warriors or commanders to bring people out of difficulties or wars and difficulties in those situations. So 300 years of life. And so Gideon was one of the judges, and he was one of the well-known judge. Even though when you look at the passage that was just read today, you know, he said, I come from a least family, right? Unknown kind of a family, but God used him tremendously. Just to give you a background, what was happening for 40 years, the Israelites, you know, their life was so good, right? And so they were just enjoying their life. Things were good, you know, they were peaceful, a lot of abundance in their life. As usual, what happens, you know, when life is so good, right, you look at your bank balances are there, right, things are moving out well, right, things are good in your life, everything There are holidays that you're making. And that was what was happening in the life of the Israelites. Things were just good for 40 years. And slowly it started affecting their spiritual life. Right? They felt they were self-sufficient. I don't need God. I don't need coming into His presence. I don't need to be reminded that, you know, I'm called and all that. So they were going downhill in their walk with God. And what was happening, you know, if you read Numbers very carefully, you know, when God told them, right, in Numbers chapter 16, to wipe up even the Canaanites who were there, the Midianites who were there, because God said, you know, I've actually called you. You are an elected community, right? People who have to be fulfilling my purpose. And when God asked them to wipe out, you know, what they did, you know, they wiped out, but they left some of them. The Midianites. You know, they left some of the Midianites there. And, you know, and so this small group of community called the Midianites, they started growing into a big, large community. And the passage today is a very interesting passage because the Midianites became so big, and together with the Canaanites, the Amalekites, right, what happened? They started attacking the people of Israel. They were not really fighting with them, right? They just wanted their crops. So when it was harvest time, the Midianites, in collusion with other, you know, the Canaanites and all that, they came, they took their harvest, they took their cattle. That's why if you look at the passage very carefully, right, it says very, you know, if you look at the passage, they came in verse 2, right, the power of the Midianites was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters, you know, and they were just hiding because they just came and they took out all the properties, right? The wheat, the cattle. It says they came like camels, like a locust, you know, they just came. They were not fighting with the Israelites. I don't want to fight you. I just want whatever blessings you have, your crop, your cattle, your livestock. I wanted all these things. And they carried them away, and if they realized they were unable to carry some of, you know, the extras, you know what they did? Instead of just leaving it for the Israelites to enjoy, they burned it. Can you imagine that kind of guy? You know what happened? You know why? Because these Israelites gave room to the Midianites when God told them, wipe out all these people away because they will bring pagan worship into your presence. They allowed. It was small. They saw they were insignificant things, right? This is not going to affect our lives. Sometimes even in our spiritual walk, it's like that. It's small. It's so insignificant in my life. When, you know, sin creeps into our life and becomes a great thing, that it becomes a monster for us to deal with, right? It eats our life altogether. And that was happening. And so the Israelites were afraid of the Midianites. And, you know, instead of staying in their houses, they were staying in their caves. Can you imagine living in caves, right? They were just hiding because, and whatever food they have, they were just hiding. And that was a situation. If you realize, you know, who was hiding in caves in those days? People who were living in fear. Remember David, right? He was just living in the cave when Saul was coming after him. And so it was a place of fear. There is no life. So the people were just hiding, and that was the situation here. And people were becoming hungry here. And what happened? They started crying to God. Have you realized, you know, when God was blessing them for the past 40 years, things were okay, they became self-sufficient, they became slowly disobedient to God, you know, and the sin of keeping the Midianites became much more larger. It grew and it started affecting them. And now what's happening? They are crying to God. And this is the background of the particular passage. You know, when I read this particular passage, I was asking myself, when they cried to God, right, what should God do? You know, when I'm going to jump from our role and God's role when I look at this particular passage, right? Some of the things that we need to really look at ourselves and some of the things, you know, God wants to see happening and how God reveals. So I'm just going to jump, you know, here and there when I look at this particular passage, and I want to go through it carefully, right? And so in verse 6, it says the Israelites were, right, reduced to starvation by the Midianites. And then the Israelites cried out to the Lord for help. So they're crying to God for help. And I believe it. It teaches us, right? I think it is God who's only hope, and He's the only one who's able to help us, my friends. Right? I was always wondering why, you know, for the past 7 years, they were just going through all these difficulties. They could have easily called upon God. Why? You know why? Scholarship says they were proud people. They thought they can manage their problems. Right? They were trying to do things, you know, within the effort to try to manage, and they came to a point, there is no way out. They need God. They need some kind of divine intervention. And they knew well that this God is a God who has been so faithful. Right? And so they come back to God, and they said, you know, Lord, they cried to God, to the Lord, because of the Midian. You know, what should God do? You know, when I look at this particular passage, it says, the Lord sent a prophet to the Israelites. You know, they were saying, Lord, we need help. We need a commander. We need a warrior. We need someone who can come, right, and train us for battle. That was their cry. We need someone, you know, who is able, strong, powerful. But then it says, God sent them a prophet. Can you imagine? You know, sometimes I wonder why. You know, when I was reading it, I was, you know, God is so humorous. Or sometimes he looks at it, you know, God is so sarcastic too. Sometimes when you look at this particular passage, you might think, you know, why is God doing this? Can you imagine if you are hurt in an accident? What do? You call for the ambulance guy, right? Instead of the ambulance guy, imagine if the media guys are coming to come and to see what to do with you. You'll be shocked, right? I need help. I need a warrior. I need a commander-in-chief. I need a fighter to come and help us. But God is, you know, God is sending a prophet to come. I think many a times what happens, I think we want situational relief, right? We want God to relieve us. Lord, I'm in a difficult situation. I just want you to relieve me. I want you to save me from this situation I'm caught in. But many a times what happens, God sends a prophet. In other words, he wants to deal with our heart, my problem, my friends. What is our problem? God wanted to deal with the problem of the Israelites. And so he sent a prophet, I think an unknown name of the prophet, right? And he said, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel says, right? I brought you out of the slavery in Egypt. I rescued you from the Egyptian, from all who oppressed you. I drove out your enemies and gave you this land. And so the prophet is just reminding them, you know, of God's faithfulness. You know why? Because they have forgotten the goodness of God. They have forgotten that this Jehovah Jireh was providing each and every moment of their life. And I told you, I'm the Lord your God. You must not worship the gods of the Amorites, right, in whose land you now live, but you have not listened to me. Have you realized? As human beings, many times when we are stuck in a problem, we need God to help us. But God, instead of sending a warrior, he's sending a prophet because he wants to deal in our hearts, my friends. He wants to look to our heart and say, this is what's happening. Right? It's not the help that you need, which will come later, but God wants to deal with our problem. And that's what God is doing in this particular passage. He's dealing with the Israelites because they have forgotten. Right? They have forgotten. They have forgotten about the goodness of God, and they have started worshipping the gods of even the Canaanites. You know why? Because they did not wipe them out totally. Right? And that's why I think that's very, very important. Maybe, you know, they were just giving themselves to this. And God started dealing with their heart. And after that, you know, we realized you know, God is, I believe, you know, when they were hearing the prophet's word, things were trying to take shape in their life. There was some kind of transformation that was happening. And God wants to deal with us, my friend. And so God was dealing with them. And so the angel appears to Gideon, right, the person we want to see today, right? When you look at Gideon, you know, when I was looking at Gideon, I realized, come on, why is God calling Gideon, right? Look at this guy, you know, what is God trying to do, right? The angel of the Lord came and sat beneath the great tree of Ophrah, which belonged to the Joash of the clan of the Abiezer. Gideon, son of Joash, was threshing wheat at the bottom of the winepress to hide the grain from the Midianites. What was he doing? You know, he was also hiding in the cave. In other words, what was happening? Gideon had a fear problem. In other words, he was afraid. You know, normally what you, if you've gone to Israel, you realize people bring their wheat to the hilltop, right? That's a place you thresh because there's strong wind there, right? And so that's a place. And a wine press is always almost downhill area, and it's in a cave because you don't want the wind to come and disturb when you're doing a wine press. And this guy, instead of going to the hilltop, because he was afraid of the Midianites, right? He's not there to face their challenge, and he was just in the wine press, and he was hiding, and he was working on threshing the grain. He was afraid. Can you imagine? How can God call it Gideon? Because he's afraid. He has a fear problem in his life. He's afraid, and he's just hiding. And it says, verse interesting, it's a very interesting passage. It says, the angel of the Lord appeared to him, said, mighty hero, wah, which I will come later, right? This guy is afraid of the Midianites. He wants to save whatever that is left for his family. He don't want to face the enemy. And so he was in the downhill. He was not bold, but the angel of the Lord is saying, mighty hero, wah, what's happening? Were the authors wrong when they wrote the scriptures? You know, I think we will look at it later. So not only he had fear problem, look at his, you know, qualification. He had a fear problem, right? And then what was happening? He had a faith problem because he said, Gideon, when the angel of the Lord appeared, right? They say it is Christ the Lord who appeared. And, you know, he replied, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us, right? And where are all the miracles our ancestors told us about? Didn't they say the Lord brought us up out of Egypt, but now the Lord have abandoned us and handed us over to Midianites? In other words, you know, he is saying, you know, where is all the miracle? What is God doing? God has forgotten us. And if interestingly, it's the other way around. It's not that God has forgotten, but the people have forgotten about God and have abandoned them, right? And he was just questioning, you know, where is God, you know? And he was thinking, you know, God should always bless us. Because you know why? Because we are a chosen people. Because we are called Christians. And so God should always bless us. If he was faithful in the past, he should always be faithful now. Whatever happens to my life, wherever my life is going, God has to bless me. That was the attitude of Gideon. But you know what? God calls him. God calls him. He had that faith problem. He was, you know, he was blaming God for all the things that's happening, but he was not looking at himself and blaming himself because he was the problem. His people were the problem, right? They were worshiping the pagan gods. They allowed the Midianites to grow, sin to grow. They became self-sufficient instead of relying on God. And so he had a faith problem. Lastly, he had another problem, right? Maybe psychologists will say that he has a self-esteem problem. But I will put it in the F word, right? In other words, it's a family problem. In other words, his family was okay, right? His family was okay. But he said, how can I save these people? You know why? Because my clan is the weakest of the tribe of Manasseh. In other words, you know, when you look at the the Israelites, they were divided, right, into different divisions. And so there were several subdivisions. And so the more divisions you have, you know, you go down on the column. And so what's happening? He was the least. He was the least. He was not there. He was the least. His family was in the least. They were subdivided. There was only a small group of people who belonged to his clan. And so he says, Lord, you know, my clan is the weakest. We don't have the numbers. We're not strong. We are ordinary people. We are below ordinary people. We are insignificant people. Maybe people do not know us because we are subdivided by subdivisions, by so many subdivisions. We are different kind of a group of people. People might not even know. And not only that, he says, I'm the least, because he was the last guy in those Jew culture, in Hebrew culture. If you're the youngest guy, you're the least, right? You need to be found obedient. So he says, you know, I'm the least. No one listens to me, right? I listen to my elders. So no one listens to me. I'm the youngest guy. Can you imagine, Lord? He had that kind of a problem. Right? Sometimes we say self-esteem, right? He feels that I cannot. Can you imagine? But God calls him, right? God calls him and says, a mighty hero. You know, when I was looking at it, I was telling myself, you know, a secular person, right, a person will never allow Gideon to lead the group. Because he had faith problem, he had questions about God. He had a fear problem, he's not willing to face the enemy, he was just hiding in the cave. He doesn't see himself even worthy, right? He sees that he's like more of a loser kind of a thing. But when I, you know, and not only that, he had another problem too. And he says, Lord, if you're going to help me, right? He says, you know, show me a sign. In other words, he had a trust problem, right? How do I trust that you are the one, right? Right? You are the one who's speaking to me, that you, I can take your word. Can you imagine? He had all the problems that you will never use Gideon to save the Israelites. He says, I want a sign, Lord. I want a proof, which I'm not going to go through. Right? And God proves to him. God proves to him. You know, when I look at this passage, you know, remember I said earlier, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, mighty hero. Imagine, the Lord is with you. Was the Lord making fun of Gideon? Right? Was God using different kind of psychology, just telling him, mighty hero, that he will feel ashamed of himself? No, I think God, you know, was right when he used the word. You know why? Because when I look at the word, you know, God sees us more than we do, my friend. You know, many a time Satan comes and says, you know, you cannot be called. You know, God cannot use you, right? Because you have difficulties, Moses. You are slow in speech. You are not eloquent, right? And you don't have the kind of giftings. That's the way Satan will always look at us, my friend. But God sees us differently. God sees us more than we see ourselves. I think that is important for us to know. And Satan will always come and say, you know, you cannot, you're not able, kind. You don't qualify. But God sees us differently. He sees us as his child, a person who can be empowered, a person who can be utilized. Right? God was able to use Samuel at a young age. Moses, who had difficult to speak, he said, Lord, I'm not. Right? David was the least guy in the house of Jesse. You know, God sees us different. How do you see yourself today, my friend? How do you see yourself? You know, many times Satan will tell us, you know, you cannot, you're not the one. You're not the one God wants to use. You cannot be a blessing right? You are a liability in the Christian community of faith, but God wants to bless us, and one God wants to use us as a blessing, my friend. It all starts in how you look at yourself, the way God looks at me. We need to be looking at ourselves the way God is looking at us. That is important for us. Right? We cannot go forward until we see ourselves how God sees us. You want to move forward? You need to see the way God sees us. That is important, my friend. Do you see yourself as God's child? Do you see yourself that you've been redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you see yourself that God has chosen you? Do you see yourself that God loves you? Do you see that God says, you know, I am with you always till the end of the age? Or do you see yourself as a loner? Right? Gideon had a lot of issues, but God wanted him to see the way God was looking at him. Right? He saw him as a mighty warrior. Right? And the Lord says, I am with you. Right? Twice in this particular passage, you will see the Lord is reminding him, the Lord is with you. I am with you. In other words, he was just reminding Gideon, right? I was your God in the past. I was with you in the past, and I'm with you now, and I'm going to be with you even tomorrow when you face the Midianites. So it's important. Now, how do you see yourself, my friend? Right? How do you see? Do you see the way God sees you? Do you see yourself as God's child? That God has a special purpose for us? Or do we struggle with Gideon, right? You know, why? I'm not the one. I'm the least, right? Or we have a trust problem. But until and unless you see the way God sees you, it is difficult for us to move forward. And until and unless the Lord deals with our lives, right, it is also difficult to move forward. What is happening here? Let me finish with this, right? Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord. He cried out. He said, oh, sovereign Lord, I'm doomed. Right? I've seen the angel of the Lord, face to face. In other words, you know, when the Lord burnt the meat, the earlier verses, and also the bread, right? And Gideon realizes, because he wanted to know, I can trust this man. Whether this is a man of God, right, who's just a stranger trying to bully me or make fun of me. But when he realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he says, oh, sovereign Lord, I'm doomed. You know why? Because in those days, it was their belief that if you see an angel of the Lord, you will die. That's the end of your life. And so he says, I'm doomed. That's the end of me, right? I've seen the angel of the Lord face to face. And he realized, you know, that he is doomed because he has seen God's face. Can you imagine that kind, you know? And when you look further, which I will stop today, right, that he worshipped God. In verse 24, it says, not only he realized that he is doomed because he has seen God's face to face, right? And then he built an altar to the Lord. In other words, he was saying, Lord, I just recognize you as my Lord. I recognize you as the God. And he names the place as the God of peace. So my friend, you know, it's when you look at these passages of scriptures, it's so wonderful, right? God was able to use Isaiah. God gave him he shook him again in Isaiah 6. In Gideon, no one, right? I don't think so. Anyone would have actually noticed Gideon. Anyone would have actually even enlisted him to the army. But God saw him. Because God sees us differently, my friend. Satan will many times, or almost all the time, will come and say, you are not the one. And you can never be the one. You cannot. You know why? You have a lot of problems in your life. But God wants to deal with us, with our lives, with our problems. Right? And he wants to help us to see the way he sees us. And he assures us that he is with us. I was reading the story. I hope it is relevant to this particular passage. You know, it is in the 11th century, the King Henry III, right, from Bavaria, you know, he grew tired of his life in the palace, right? I believe some of you might have read what's happening in the UK royal family. Someone is in Canada now, right? I think some of you would have been following that story. So this man, you know, King Henry III, he was so frustrated with the pressures of being a king. And so he applied to go and stay in a local monastery. So he applied, and the person who was in charge at that point of time called him and said, you know, do you know what you're doing, king? He said, yes, I know. I want to stay in this monastery. And then he said, you know, this man said, yes, you know, do you understand there is a pledge of obedience in this monastery, which is hard for you as a king to obey, right? And there is a pledge of obedience in this monastery, which is something, a difficult task for you. He says, King Henry III, he said, yes, I understand. He said, the rest of my life I'll be obedient to you as Christ is leading you. And the wise words of this man, the person who's in charge of monastery, says, then this is what I will tell you to do. He says, go back to your throne, right, and serve faithfully in the place where God has put you. Go back to your throne. Go back to the place where God has placed you, right, and serve him obediently. And that is what God wants you to do for you, for your life. And it says, you know, when King Henry III died, there was a statement that was written. And it was the statement, it was written this way. And let me read. It says, the king learned to rule by being obedient. Yes, God calls us. God calls some of us into full-time ministry. But let me tell you, God calls each and every one of us to some kind of ministry, my friend, because we need to be reflecting Christ. Maybe it might be our home. It might be in our workplace, right? It might be in our campus, or even with our friends that we hang out with. Wherever we are, go back and be obedient to what God has given to us. Maybe that's the call that God is giving us today, wherever we are, right? And this is what King Henry III did. And so, my friend, let me, you know, invite you, right, to see the way God sees us. And let's pray. Scripture says that one of the greatest judge was Gideon. You know why? Not only he was available to be used by God, but he recognized he had all these problems that we learned today. But he was able to recognize that he is doomed. And he was able to build an altar for the Lord as a sign of not only worshiping God, but giving himself totally to him. Many times Satan wants to see us, bring lies to our lives and says, you're not the one. But dear friends, but God wants us to see the way he sees us today. We just sang a song right earlier that nothing is able to pluck us away from His hand. And God loves us. When I look at the times today, the circumstances that we are living, I think God wants to use us wherever we are. Maybe not full-time ministry, but wherever we are, God wants us to be obedient to Him. As the head of the monastery told King Henry III, go back to your throne and be obedient to what God has to say. Wherever you are, be obedient to the call. Wherever you are, be obedient to the voice of God. Because that might be your area of ministry. It might be a call. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, that even now, Lord, you are looking for people. And you're using so many people in this world, Father, and we just rejoice. And we pray, Lord, that you will use us as individuals and also as a church, O God. Many times, O God, we see ourselves as small. We don't have the critical mass. But help us, Lord, to see the way God sees us. And help us to know, Lord, that you are with us. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.